Thanks for listening to the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time, that's 12 to 3 Pacific, on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Boom! What up, America? Doug Gottlieb Show. Fox Sports Radio. Hope you're having a great day. Now, we're broadcasting live from sunny Southern California. This is the Doug Gottlieb Show. And, of course, you can download the podcast version if you miss anything on your iHeartRadio app, on iTunes, wherever you download podcasts. Just type in Doug Gottlieb Show. And if you like something, share it with a friend. I got some more Mike Tomlin for you. Rick Bucher is going to join us. By the way, has anyone else noticed that there is an added energy level? An added energy level to NBA games? Like, I was watching last night the Knicks game where they beat the Sixers at home and the Garden continues to be on fire. But then I was watching the Spurs and the Lakers. Anybody else watch that? And it was like a playoff game. I don't know if it's a year where you didn't have the chance to go to games or it's just like this is the new us. But forever, NBA games have been so boring, not just because of the play, but honestly because of the atmosphere. And that seems to have changed. Has anybody else noticed that? All right, T.J. Hushmanzada will join us later on the show. He's awesome. We got some more on Deshaun Watson. Wait to hear what the commissioner said about him. Daniel Jeremiah will join us. And the Jets claim the Pats ran up the score on them, and they're not so happy about it. Let me get to yesterday. So the owners' meetings are taking place, and the league meetings are taking place, and Roger Goodell spoke, and he said a lot of interesting things. Okay, so Dan Snyder's Washington football team. Now, for a long time, Dan Snyder was just a bad guy, right? Remember, he was the first, I believe, only owner to charge fans to come see his team's open workouts early in the fall, right? Remember when they had training camp, and this goes back probably 15 years ago, Dan Snyder, when he took ownership of the Washington football team, maybe it's 20 years ago, he made waves because he wanted to charge fans and people revolted that like, that's not how we roll. He's not seen as a warm and fuzzy. He is seen as a guy who isn't well-liked in many circles, but he's been crazy successful. He wants a new football stadium. People wanted him to change the name. He was defiant on that. Then they did change the name. And then, of course, there was this bombshell that was dropped about a year ago, maybe a little bit more than a year ago, that he had a toxic culture in his offices with sexual harassment and some allegations of sexual assault. And the Washington football team, remember, was fined $10 million for their highly unprofessional environment. And Dan Snyder stepped down from running the day-to-day operations. And you know he put in his place? In place? His wife.
Hey, guys, I don't have...
Okay. Roger Goodell said this, that is making waves across the Twitter sphere and the news sphere and the sports world. This is what he said about Dan Snyder being held accountable.
I do think he's been held accountable for. I think the organization has been held accountable for, and I think we did an unprecedented fine. Dan Snyder has not been involved with the organization for now almost 4 months. And we obviously are focused more on making sure the policies that they had, many which they put into place prior to this investigation, but also coming out of it, were put into place and that they will be maintained and that we can ensure that that will happen in this organization.
Here's Goodell on why the report will not be made public.
As you know, there was a summary of the findings. We had an independent counsel look at that. They worked on it almost a year. I think interviewed over roughly 150 people and I think close to 6 million documents that they worked through. But one of the important things by getting a professional that has worked in this space was making sure that you had people who were willing to come forward, most of which wanted to do so with security and privacy and anonymity, and it would be difficult for us to do that. And that not only affects the investigation that you're going through, but it affects future investigations and the credibility of that. So when you make a promise to protect anonymity, you need to stand by that. We're very conscious of making sure that we're protecting those that came forward. They were incredibly brave, incredibly open, and we respect the pain that they probably went through all over again to come forward. That was a very high priority for us.
That was Roger Goodell. And I not only buy into what he's saying, I agree with him. Right? It was bad enough that the Gruden stuff was leaked. Let's just be honest. What goes counter to what he's saying is the Gruden stuff was leaked. Now, the Gruden stuff may have been in the final report, and that's, you know, and it was taken out because they found it. I actually think that the thoroughness of the investigation is proven by the Gruden stuff. But this is the point with all of these movements. It's like, look, finding the bad guy is important. Changing the culture is important. Holding people accountable is important. But there is, at least at some point, a limit. And what they're saying is, like, look, we are levying the greatest fine we've ever thrown down on a football franchise. There are no ties of knowledge between Dan Snyder and what was going on in the front office. And because they couldn't find any, he gets to keep the team and there's no additional punishment. But this is what, like, all of these movements are. They're really good in their spirit. Like, the Me Too movement is a incredibly important movement. Right? Incredibly important. In all honesty, like, I don't, the organization and some of the things they want, like Black Lives Matter, I don't agree with the branded movement, right? I don't believe that what BLM wants and what their website desired and whatever, but the idea of the treatment of minorities, frankly, the treatment of everybody at the hands of police officers, but that Black people are made to fear police officers in routine traffic stops because of years of unfair treatment. Like, that is an important thing in our society. But again, there's a limit there. It doesn't mean all police are bad. It doesn't mean that you defund the police, right? The Me Too movement is an important movement, but there does come a limit to where you just can't chase everything and every story and, okay, everybody has to lose their job and lose their ownership because they were ever associated with it. Like, if he wasn't harassing anybody, if he wasn't sending out emails with these pictures of the cheerleaders, and there's no smoking gun that shows that he had any knowledge of it taking place, what more can you possibly do? You find him $10 million. Remember, you find him $10 million, and then you had the pandemic when everybody lost a ton of money. So I know he's rich beyond belief. I know that based upon his overall value and the value of the franchise, it is a drop in the proverbial bucket. I understand all of that. Okay? I understand all of that. But I also understand that there's got to be a limit at some point. This was the Mike Vick thing, right? What Mike Vick did was terrible. Terrible. And truthfully, he went to jail not just because of what they did to dogs, but because he continually lied about it. But he paid his debt to society. That's it. That's it. They sullied his name. That's it. He'll forever walk around with that scarlet letter to some people, even if he's rehabilitated. And I know Mike Vick. I know people that know Mike Vick. He obviously has worked with us here at Fox Sports and Fox Sports Radio. And I like him a lot. I think he's a hell of a dude, and he's seen the bottom. I mean, he's been to actual prison, right? Like, there's a point where you go, like, it's enough. It's enough. Everyone involved, directly and slightly indirectly, has lost their job, and the owner has had to pay out a $10 million fine and completely reorganize. His front office. How many more pounds of flesh are there? So what happens is Roger Goodell goes up there and says, like, look, here's why we had an independent counsel. Okay? They went through 6 million documents. They released the findings. Okay, but we're not going to release everything else. You're not entitled to that. We're a private enterprise. None of this affects you. There's other things in those emails that you don't need to see. And we don't want to have disclosed, not just names, but stuff that's not, shouldn't be public information. So I'm sitting here today defending Roger Goodell because he did everything that was asked. In truth, okay, in truth. If you go back and look at the Ray Rice thing, we have no feeling for context. When they suspended Ray Rice for domestic battery, for something that never went to trial, because there was a pretrial diversionary hearing, that was actually the longest suspension for domestic abuse in the history of the NFL. It was not enough. At the time, Goodell was like, look, we never suspended a guy 2 games for something that didn't even go to trial, pretrial divisionary hearing, first offense. Should they have seen the tape? Yes. Would the tape have changed things? Yes. But I just think sometimes we're not realistic about what is possible when you're in charge. There's also precedent. If you take the team from Dan Snyder, well, what other teams? I mean, now do you, Cal McNair thing, do you take the team from him? You found something with the Raiders. By the way, the Raiders front office, they fired 3 people before the season. A couple were alleged to be skimming off the top. Hey, do you take the team from Mark Davis because of it? He didn't know. That's probably why he fired those people. This is the realities of how much is under your purview and how much is not. So while Twitter wants more, and the Me Too movement doesn't want to stop, get rid of everybody, me in the radical center says, look, it was bad old boys club. It was gross. All those dudes lost their job. Good. Now do it the right way. Change, demand change in how people are treated. Find the organization as big a fine as you possibly can. $10 million is a lot of money. And see how they react and see how they evolve. And if there's, you can't get rid of an owner who there are no connecting emails or texts or anything, like there's no smoking gun. You can't, because you assume that he had to on some level know. It's not the way it works. You also can't disclose everything when you truly investigate a football team, because there are other things that people don't want out there. Right? This, I'll give you a parallel, and then we're going to get to the Mike Tomlin, Carson Palmer discussion. Here's the parallel. Hey, going into the Olympics this year, you had many people, especially people who are, you would classify as woke, complaining because athletes weren't allowed to protest during their medal ceremony. The problem with that is not most of the American protests. Okay? It's really not. Protesting police brutality, equal treatment of all human beings. Like, no. The problem is that we only look at it through our own lens. Well, why don't we protest China? Right? Enes Kanter is protesting China. Well, you know, there's a lot of people who don't like the American way. And what happens when one of those countries wins a gold medal? Why can't they say death to America? Right? It's their form of protest. And oh yeah, by the way, if we're not even considering America or death to America, there are countries that don't like people of other races, people of other cultures. Like we think everybody should and will think like us, damn it. And we should all be free to speak our own minds, but only the own minds which are completely open-minded. Like, yeah, that's not really close to how it works. Not every culture embraces the LGBTQ plus community. They don't. Not every culture embraces interracial relationship. Not every culture accepts Jewish people, Christian people, Muslim people. They don't. Okay? So sometimes you have to draw a line because there's that law of unintended consequences. And if the intended consequence is to change the Washington football team and change their culture and make the owner feel the pain, he had to change the football name. He had to get rid of his entire front office. He also, by the way, fired his coach. He had to step down and put his wife in charge. Like, and they paid $10 million. I don't know how many pounds of flesh you need, but that's a lot of pounds of flesh.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
What up with you, Doug Gottlieb Show? Fox Sports Radio. We got a great show for you. I mean, just an outstanding, outstanding show for you. The Doug Gottlieb Show broadcasts live every day from sunny Southern California. Welcome in. Daniel Jeremiah is our guest. Of course, he has Move the Sticks podcast. He and Bucky Brooks, of course, works with us. You can see him on the NFL Network. You can see that on the NFL Network. And you can hear him call Chargers games all year long on our sister station here in Los Angeles. Let's get to a bunch of this stuff. Let me ask you about Tua, okay? Take a listen to what Tua said when he was asked if he felt wanted.
Not feel wanted. That's what I could say. Honestly, I don't base my emotions off of who says anything about me or who's saying what. I mean, all I can do is my job and do it to the best of my capability.
What are your thoughts on the Tua situation, as it feels like Deshaun Watson's going to be a Dolphin by all reports, and then there's Tua who's, you know, still playing football and quarterback for the team?
Yeah, I think that was like the definition of, I don't think they hate me, but I just not sure they like me, you know, like that's basically what I took away from that quote. But whatever you think about Tua, you know, and everybody can say the Jets should have taken Justin Herbert and Tua is not worth where they picked him and yada, yada, yada. He is in an awful situation. Awful. I mean, it just, you don't have the backing of your organization. They're constantly flirting with this Deshaun Watson thing, but it never gets done. You're kind of stuck in limbo. You've got an offensive line that's not great. It's just the whole team is not playing well. So not a great situation for him. When I watched the tape and watched him last week, I thought he threw the ball well. I thought he made, you know, he had the interceptions, but, you know, you can't say outside of that. But really, he played a pretty good game, made some nice throws. He just doesn't have that big arm to be able to make two or three, you know, throws a game that kind of are the separators. But he drove them down, had them in position to win a football game, and their defense couldn't get off the field. So I don't envy the position that he's in, put it that way.
Do you feel when Roger Goodell said, you know, we don't have enough information, it felt like what he was saying was like, look, he can play. It did feel like he said he could play without saying he could play. What's your read into what and how Goodell said what he said yesterday?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's kind of what had been reported a little bit, which is he's not on any list. He's not on the exempt list. So, you know, he would be willing to play. You're just going to have to answer the questions and everything that comes along with that. I think that's why, you know, if you're the Miami Dolphins, you'd prefer for this stuff in a perfect world to be settled as much as it could be settled before you make this trade. And if not, he's got to bake in some type of protections into the trade. So I've never thought it made sense for either party to do this trade during this time, even if it meant that you could get him on the field right away if you're the Dolphins. I felt like this was an off-season move. So maybe we're talking next week, Doug, and I'm proven wrong and they pulled this thing off, but it's a little murky at this point in time.
It is murky. How big a buyer are you into the Bengals?
I always say the same things. You know, I believe in championship teams have two components. They have great quarterback play and they can rush the passer. And this Bengals team is getting great quarterback play out of Joe Burrow. Obviously, Jamar Chase is, you know, it's going to be within a year we're going to say he's the best receiver in the NFL. And then you flip it on the defensive side of the ball, and they're doing a really good job of getting after the quarterback. So those things last. Those things are real. That, to me, is why they're going to be around. They're not going anywhere.
Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. All right, how do you fix the Kansas City Chiefs?
Well, I feel like I say it every week, patience and physicality. It's what they need to do, and they kind of refuse to do it. It's with Mahomes in terms of the passing game. Get your feet in the ground. Take the easy layups. Take the 5-10, 10-yard completions. Stop trying to make things happen when there's nothing there. The safeties are in the parking lot. They're taking that stuff away. You're not going to be able to get all these deep over shots. Don't bail out of clean pockets. You know, those are some of the, you know, bad habits that he's kind of drifting back into, some of the stuff you saw in college. And then just commit to the running game a little bit. I know we're a passing league. I know analytics. I get all that. But you got to run people out of that look. You would see it with Peyton Manning all the time when teams would try and play the Colts that way. He got to the point where he just was patient. He would take the easy underneath completions, and he would just run the ball. If you're not going to respect that at all, he's just going to keep doing it. And the Chiefs have just not shown any commitment whatsoever to do that. It's baffling to me.
It really is. I mean, just singles and doubles, right? And they just keep swinging for the fences.
That's it. Yeah, eventually you're going to scare one of those safeties down, and then you take your shots. But, there's nothing there. There's nothing there deep down the field. But you've got guys underneath an intermediate that are there all day long. Take those. And then you've got an offensive line that's better in a run-blocking mode than they are in a pass-protecting mode. I mean, it's just kind of curious how it all came together. But you've got that entire offensive line can move people in the run game. They're better in the run game. They don't ever run.
How do we get to this place where now Kyle Shanahan's coaching acumen's been called into question?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think with that one, it's he built a reputation because of the offenses that he coordinated, and they had a certain type of quarterback that had success playing that way. And I feel like he's almost been kind of chasing that Matt Ryan version, and Jimmy gave him some of that in the year they went to the Super Bowl, but that team was so dominant in every other area in the run game and as well as defensively. I don't think this team's quite as dominant there, and I don't know that, you know, I think some of the criticism is fair. I don't know that Kyle's done a great job of adapting to maybe a little different skill sets for the quarterbacks that he has, and that's in a very limited exposure with Trey Lance, and then that's kind of what we've seen with Jimmy. So I don't have any problem with the criticism being levied at him. He's earned his reputation as a genius and a guru and a great coordinator. But, you know, you look at the win-loss record, it is what it is.
It's Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Daniel Jeremiah is our guest. He's an NFL analyst. You can see him on Move the Sticks or download Move the Sticks as his podcast. Of course, hear him call the Chargers games as well. We're going to see the Packers tonight against the Cardinals, but no Alan Lazard, or is it tomorrow night? Wait, my nights are confused.
Yeah.
Sorry. Tomorrow night. No Alan Lazard, and obviously no Davante Adams. This is a game where the Cardinals obviously favored, and now the number has jumped. What are your thoughts on the Packers and kind of COVID running rampant through their wide receiving core?
I think it's put Aaron in a pretty good spot where he's got a chance to have absolutely no pressure on him. They go out there, and if they get it done, he's going to get 100% of the credit. And if they don't get it done, it's kind of no harm, no foul, you know, because of who they're down. I still think they're dangerous. I think they get, especially if they get Bakhtiari back, I think they, you know, can try and run the ball a little bit. And, you know, he's one of those guys that can make everyone else better. He can elevate the play of others around him. So he'll get an opportunity to do that. I would not write them off in this game at all. You know, I think they're going to have to keep pace. I don't think they're going to be able to completely slow down this Arizona offense. It's been so explosive and so dynamic, but I have a hard time saying, no matter who's playing wide receiver, that Aaron Rodgers led team doesn't have a chance in a football game.
Still Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Do you think that Pete Carroll's time should be up at the end of the year in Seattle?
I think that they're a team that has a huge decision to make in terms of their roster and their direction. You know, you don't want to be the guy who trades a Hall of Fame quarterback. I wouldn't want to be that guy when you're thinking about Russell Wilson. But this is a team that's just It's got a little bit of a talent issue. It doesn't look like they're close. They don't have a first-round pick next year. They're coming off of a draft where they only had three picks, none of which are going to be, you know, big-time impact guys. So you're looking at a team that's not super talented right now and is basically going to go 2 years in a row, you know, potentially without adding big-time impact guys. And their draft record over the past handful of years has not been great. So they're in a tough spot. Pete's 70 years old. I could see them as an organization just saying, hey, does Pete really want to do this? I don't think you could let Pete Carroll go. I think it's his decision based off what he's done there. But I would just be curious if Pete, you know, wants to go through this all again.
How big a buyer are you into the Titans?
I think what they do has a very high floor. They beat people up in a league where very few people do anymore. So it's a difficult matchup. I think they're rushing the passer really, really well. Goes back to kind of my theory on what you need to do. And it's different. It's not like playing Air Force or Navy, but in the NFL it almost is because they're so committed to it. And they're just so aggressive and so physical up front. Teams don't see that. So, yeah, I think they're 100% going to be a postseason team, and they're going to be a team nobody wants to face. Now, if they can get – everything they need to get out of the out of the passing game to get through a full playoff run, that'll be the challenge. But it's a high floor team.
The Chargers, the team that Dan Jeremiah is the color analyst on the radio for the LA Chargers, they take on the Patriots, fresh off a stomping of the Jets. It's really interesting though on how out of sight, out of mind, right? Like you go back a couple weeks ago, they'd beaten the Chiefs, the Raiders, and the Browns back to back, and people were talking about them as an outside threat at the Super Bowl. Then they go and just get their butts kicked by the Ravens, and then they have a bye week, and literally nobody's talking about the Chargers. I would contend that Patriots, Eagles, Vikings, three games in which they are and should be favored in, and then even Steelers, like this is where if the Chargers are really different, this is where they win 3 of 4 or 4 of 4.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I find it kind of – it is kind of funny because you look at the schedules for those teams and you kind of look at the wins that they've had and you compare them. So everybody's been, you know, buzzing about the Patriots because of the 54 points they put up on the Jets and Mac Jones is playing well. Patriots are, they've won three games. They beat the Jets twice and they beat the Texans. And you look at the Chargers who nobody's talking about, nobody seems to care about. They beat the Chiefs, they beat the Raiders, they beat the Browns. It's a good point about kind of out of sight, out of mind. Now the Chargers got their teeth kicked in by the Patriots last year. I think it was 45-0. So they're going to have to play a heck of a lot better in this matchup than they did last year. And they've got to match the physicality. That's been their challenge. The Browns ran it down their throats a little bit. You saw the Cowboys do that. And then you obviously saw what the Ravens did. So they've had a bye. They've had 2 weeks to try and get that stuff figured out, but they're going to have to match the physicality of the Patriots because you know that's coming.
DJ, you're the best, man. Enjoy the game against the Patriots. Can't wait to hear your breakdown of the two quarterbacks, the second-year star Justin Herbert and the rookie Mac Jones. You'll be on the call. Thanks for joining us.
Yep, and good luck to your Dodgers tonight, Doug.
My Dodgers.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
What up, Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Hope you're having a great day. The Doug Gottlieb Show is broadcasting live from sunny Southern California. We've been searching for this answer. Right? We've been searching for this answer for a long time. And I think we finally got it. The question is, how can the Houston Texans trade Deshaun Watson if Deshaun Watson, we don't even know what the commissioner thinks, what the league thinks, what the likelihood is of him playing this year. So yesterday, in addition to the Washington football team, Roger Goodell opened up on Deshaun Watson. Take a listen.
And until that process is ongoing and we have enough data and enough information to be able to make a determination of whether he should go on commissioner exempt, we don't feel that we have that necessary information at this point.
Take a little, I want one more time, listen to the last two sentences. Go ahead one more time, Ron.
That process is still ongoing. And until that process is ongoing and we have enough data and enough information to be able to make a determination of whether he should go on commission or exempt, we don't feel that we have that necessary information at this point.
Okay, so look, there's some potential criminal charges. There's civil charges, that a civil suit that's out there against him, and they don't have the information. It's not really what he's saying is very lawyerly and very true, but the message is, hey, look, everything that's been brought to the table doesn't rise to the level of suspension. So I guess he can play. I don't think there's any question here that what the Dolphins hear in this is you're going to take a PR hit when you get him. But this doesn't feel like it passes the smell test. It just doesn't. And because of it, there's nothing we can do. Like, remember, they've held guys out because of accusations in the past. They've suspended people in the past because of accusations. They have chosen to this point to not even put them on the commissioner's exempt list, and they have been investigating it. I don't know. That's what I hear is he's going to be able to play. He's going to be able to play. There's nothing we can do. We haven't gotten any information to this point that rises to the level of a commissioner's exempt list, let alone a suspension. Byer, do you hear something different in that?
Summarize your question again, if you will, so I can answer it correctly.
The question is, how can the Texans, or how can anybody trade for Deshaun Watson? Right, how can you when you don't know what the commissioner's office is going to do with him in terms of the commissioner's exempt list? And when he says we don't have that information yet, you know, and basically saying to this point, you know, nothing we, you know, to put him on that list, you got plenty of information. It just doesn't appear to be the type of information that's going to take him off the football field. That's what it feels like to me.
I don't understand, and I don't know if I'm answering your question. I don't understand the report that Stephen Ross wants to know what the outcome is before giving away what the Texans wanted. Because isn't that the whole deal? If Deshaun Watson is free and clear of the charges and there is a commissioner, whatever, even if it's a year or eight games or whatever it may be, you're still getting your franchise quarterback. But to think that you're going to get him at a discounted rate, it just doesn't – none of it makes sense to me. Like, you either give them the discounted package with the question of him and his status, whether it be with the commissioner or whether it be with the charges that were alleged against him, or he's free in the clear and you just give the Texans everything that they want. To me, there's just no middle ground. I don't understand how you could have middle ground, and I don't understand why the Dolphins would ask or say that they want to know. Everybody wants to know what his status is. Texans want to know what his status is going to be. The Dolphins want to know what his status is going to be. So I don't know why there would be some middle ground unless the Dolphins were willing to pay less with the possible risk that he may not play for them or have a substantial suspension.
Jason, what do you think?
I think that Goodell's comments, as you just said, I think he seems to be giving teams, or the Dolphins specifically, the go-ahead to make a trade. He does leave himself an out here by saying, up to now, we haven't been given enough information. I'm going to continuously be the guy who is like, how does any team, let alone the Dolphins, bring this guy in knowing what's going to happen? I know you say it's a PR hit, and I think Dan has said on this show that it'll be like a one-day news cycle thing, but think about it. Deshaun hasn't really been forced to answer questions. You have to put him in front of reporters, and then your entire organization is going to be hounded by, you know, the woke mob and everybody else. It just seems to me that that's not worth this, plus the assets. But
I didn't say it'd be a one day. I did not say that. I just think at some point they're going to move past it.
I really think if we look at, and it's different because it's a quarterback. Roethlisberger, what people forget about Roethlisberger was, okay, Roethlisberger is really suspended for three things. There was a Lake Tahoe deal. There was the Georgia deal, which ultimately led to suspension. And in between, you guys remember he had the motorcycle crash where he didn't have a helmet on. He went over his over the handlebars of his bike and busted his head open. You guys remember that? And it was it was everybody believes that he was suspended for the accusations in Georgia. It's really a lot like the Ezekiel Elliott thing where it's just like, dude, you got to be stop being an idiot and putting yourself in this position. So we're just going to suspend you. So I think, if you have this level of accusations and some of the accusations, just if you actually read them, you're like, really? But the fact that there are no, I don't believe there's any pending criminal charges against him. It just, it's really hard for us to figure out any sort of what's real. What do I think happens in terms of the media? I do think it's a, yeah, he'll have one intro press conference, will be uncomfortable. He'll read some sort of statement. He may do some Q&A, but it's a, these are personal things that don't pertain to football. And if they're not a criminal case and they probably won't go to civil, you know, they'll have to settle or whatever. Like, I think those things, I think they go, I do think they go away. Does it paint the picture of he's got a weird sexual history? Yes. Okay. And this is a guy who, I mean this when I say it. Like, I didn't like that he was holding out. I didn't like what his agent, because his agent did this with Jalen Ramsey before. That's what his agent's kind of known for. They signed a contract, got paid for the first 3 years of the contract up front. And then before the contract really went live, because the last season was actually under the old contract, he's like, I don't want to play for you anymore. Like, that just, and that was, it was after the Nuke Hopkins trade. So I was anti Deshaun in terms of his stance from the start. I talked to NFL people and every one of them are like, well, you know, if Deshaun Watson, this is actually a quote from another GM, if Deshaun Watson isn't good with how an organization is run, I side with Deshaun Watson because there's a guy who has a pristine background. Right? So he has positive equity. I think a lot of that is gone. But I do think you cash it in and then you move on and you start playing great football. And I think things change.
I mean, you're closer to this than I am, Dan, but like when all this came down, I think Deshaun had originally said something along the lines of, I've never disrespected a woman. And I remember thinking to myself that that's just simply overcompensating for something. When somebody says something like that, I'm thinking there's something there. It's like a person that says, I never argue with my wife, which it just isn't true. And why are you, what are you hiding? So I kind of got the feeling then, unless he's said something since then that has been different than that.
No. No. That's again, the disrespecting your wife, like, again, everybody has a definite, it's like the, it all depends on what your definition of is. Like, I kind of feel like we all kind of know what feels like happened, right? I just, again, like, I know we're available on Sirius Satellite Radio, but I don't feel like I can, we're also under the watchful eye of the FCC, so there's. Well,
yeah.
You know, and again, doesn't make it okay, does it rise to the level of criminal activity? To this point, the Houston Police Department says no, right? So,
well, no, that's not correct because they just haven't completed their investigation. That has not been, they've had their own allegations.
That's a fair, and thank you for the correction. But wouldn't he have been, like, these are not new allegations. Wouldn't he have been charged?
He's the starting quarterback of the NFL franchise in Houston, and
I understand. Yeah, but some of this works. Some of that works against you now. Okay, some of that works against you. Where you're like, this is what happened to Plaxico Burress, right? Plaxico Burress shot himself in the leg. He's already humiliated. It felt like double jeopardy when he went to jail for it. But New York wanted to make a point: no one is above the law in terms of carrying a gun. Well, carrying an unlicensed firearm. So he went to jail for shooting himself in the leg. Right? I do think that there's a level of, yeah, he doesn't. And by the way, he said he doesn't want to be Houston's quarterback. If they had the stuff to charge him with, remember, he doesn't want to be in Houston. He wants out. Now, it's nothing to do with the city of Houston. So I understand what you're saying, Dan, but the reality is not the starting quarterback, wants nothing to do with the franchise, simply wants to go somewhere else, and they still haven't charged him. Again, I don't know what happened. Neither do you. Neither does the Twitter sphere. Neither does anybody else. I can guess. I can suppose. That's not how I've rolled. But I also would tell you that I'm just trying to use logic here. Wouldn't logic tell you that, especially in these times in 2021, where we're trying to make up for the fact that women have not been protected well enough by the law? Wouldn't there be charges already? Is this reasonable? And thank you for the correction, Dan. You're not wrong. I was wrong in terms of where they actually are. It's still an open investigation. But it's not like it just got open investigation last week.
That's gone on for a while. Yes. Okay. And even when I said that of him being the starting quarterback, you're right. I don't know if double-edged sword is the right analogy to use on it, but there's a way where you have to be super careful, and Yes. Then there's the other side of it with I think the Burrow situation that you mentioned with New York, and I think that's why we
it's,
see
it's
it.
It's just like in school, and like everybody remember this from when we were. If you're in high school, right? Like everybody thinks like, oh, well, teachers always help out the jocks. Well, there might be a teacher that helps out the jocks. There's also might be a teacher that is anti-jock. Happens in college as well. You'll have one, my marketing professor when I was at Oklahoma State, okay, also kept the stats for the basketball games. Right? Lee Manzer, Dr. Lee Manzer, he taught a great class, but he was as harder on me than he was any other student. His son played basketball. His grandson now is a walk-on on the team and is going to play at Oklahoma State, right? So here's a guy who, on the surface, bro, that should be an A. You get Manzer's class, it keeps your stats at the game, right? It's an A. I got a C. It was like the hardest class I took at Oklahoma State. Why? Because he knew I had to be better than everybody else. So I think that along the lines of the police as well. Will you have people in police departments that may, turn a blind eye or give the benefit of the doubt to somebody famous? Yes. But you'll also have people who are like, nah, man, we got to be extra vigilant and make a point to somebody who thinks they're above the law. So I do think it works both ways. And the reality is there's not to convene a grand jury and to get charges against somebody is not that high a bar, and they haven't done it yet. Doesn't mean it won't happen. But again, this is part of what Goodell's saying. Like, look, there's no charges. We have no information. Yeah, I think he can play. It's weird. By the way, do we have the Tua sound? Do you guys have the Tua sound again? Because the Tua sound is different. All of these people are quoting Tua Tagovailoa saying, I do not feel wanted. But I think he did didn't he do the double negative, Dan?
I don't not feel wanted. That's what I could say. Honestly, I don't base my emotions off of who says anything about me or who's saying what.
No, but if people are misquoting this, I'm looking at all these quotes that say, I don't feel wanted. That's not what he said. He said, I don't not feel wanted, right?
Yeah, yeah. I did see one report that had it correctly, but I have not. It's odd that Twitter would be wrong, but yeah, to your point, it is the double negative.
Twitter wrong.
I don't not feel wanted.
I don't not feel wanted. All right. I mean, listen, the double negative strikes again.
It's like idiot test.
At MD Snakeheads says, it's not TV, Gottlieb Show. Investigations take some time, especially involving 20 women. I understand. I do understand. This is not a new investigation. Everything has been turned over. So they've interviewed these women. I'm not sitting here telling you that. Please don't think I'm telling you I think that these actions are appropriate. And if he sexually violated any woman, he should go to jail. But I'm not the law. I don't know the accusations, whatever. I just know that when there's this level of attention to a case and there's been nothing in terms of levied charges from the criminal side, it makes everybody go like, I don't know if they're real.